Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's some day of the week before Christmas. And I'm Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 20th, people, 2011, episode 297, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah!
What day is it? Tell me!
It's Tuesday!
I can't believe it! I just don't believe it!
Feels like Tuesday.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
All right, so what day is it, Jamie? Is it Tuesday, right? That's what they said
it
there,
is,
Tuesday.
Yes, it is Tuesday the 20th. That means, for you, 5 shopping days till Christmas.
Well, you know what I'm doing immediately after the show today? I found a little block of time that I can actually go out and try and find Jennifer a gift because I haven't gotten her gift yet.
Are you serious?
No, I haven't even, I didn't even have an idea. I had no idea. So now she said today she would provide me with a list of options. Of which then I usually go out and buy none of.
Right. You still. Let me give you a piece of advice. Stick to the list. Just stick to the list. You will not
Thank
go
you,
wrong.
Thank you.
Seriously. You know, I'm sorry, and he's probably listening, but my dad is the worst at that. I'll be like, I need these things. And he's like, wow, guess what I found you? You know, it's like the most random, obscure thing that he saw in the store on the. Yeah, and that we'll never use, but he thought was neat. You know, I'm like, you liked it. You keep it.
I have a tendency to do that, too. It's a good thing I never had kids, because I have a tendency to buy things that I would like. And
yes.
I figure, well, if she doesn't like it, then I'll use it. And so that way it's not wasted. See, I'm being frugal.
Jennifer, what has he bought you for himself?
I would occasionally get a kitchen device. No use for that.
And he's the cook. And he cooks.
Absolutely.
That was encouragement. I was trying to encourage her to take up a new hobby.
Or something to hang on the wall of the house. You know, artwork.
Hey, I've gotten you some good gifts over here. You have to admit.
Well,
I have bought you some good gifts.
I do. I'll say, because I'll give you some examples, and then maybe you can take that and think of another one. Because, Jennifer, I got a fancy new laptop about 2 years ago, and I already had a laptop. And my laptop that I got for Christmas is currently in the car with my husband on his way to work.
So he actually got Chad a computer.
No,
yeah.
That's a perfect gift, because if you aren't using it at the moment, the entire family can use it. It's very frugal, very economical, and it's just solid, solid. It's solid. I'm just saying. It's solid.
Do you know how many times I have used the laptop my husband bought me for Christmas? Maybe twice. Maybe, and it's
well,
only
see,
because he said, hand me the laptop.
Thing he bought. Then it's a, proves my point. It's a damn good thing he bought you something that he could use, too. Obviously, you're
nice.
Not using it.
I'm a horrible person, aren't I?
You are. You're so disrespectful to the things he buys you.
You want to know, can I ask your opinion? Because he went to work already, and I need to ask Glenn and Jennifer your opinion of something real quick. So about 3 months ago, my husband was trail riding with me. We were all excited. We were going on hacks together. And
oh, I remember about that.
Yeah. And about 3 months ago, I bought him a Western saddle, like a really straight up, really comfortable, and I got it for a great deal. And so I bought him this Western saddle, and it's been sitting in the tack room, kind of covered up. And now he wants to ride English, and he's been riding in my English saddle like once a week, every week. What am I supposed to do? Do I still give him the Western saddle and be like, hey, remember that time you used to want to ride Western and disappointed me by not using this? Here you go.
Oh, so you haven't given it to him yet.
You didn't give it to him yet?
No, it's in the chat room. It's his Christmas present.
Well, run that thing back to the store and buy an English one quick.
Go to Craigslist and put in an ad that you want to trade for something.
You want to trade. That's
trade.
Trade.
Write yourself a Craigslist ad.
Well,
thanks for
are
looking.
Are we sure he's not riding in the English saddle just because he doesn't have a good Western saddle?
Well, you know, that's a good point. But, no, he wants to jump. Like, his little fighter pilot mentality is like, I can jump the biggest fences better than you kind of thing.
I got a solution to that problem. Let him jump once or twice in the Western saddle. He'll never want to jump again.
I know. No, I want him to. I would love for him to event with me or to, for us to do that together would be great. So I've been encouraging it. And now I'm like, great, what am I do this crap Western saddle I have sitting in the tech room?
It's your
challenge. But maybe Craigslist.
Craigslist in your future. Can you return it or is it too long?
No, I bought it from a friend. I can't return it.
I have a great idea. We can get our listeners to write the ad for you.
Right.
They're clever.
5 days till Christmas. I'm gonna ride English.
This past weekend.
What?
Go ahead.
Oh, this past weekend I'm like, hey, why don't we just go on a trail ride? We'll just throw some Western saddles on and we'll just go for a trail ride. He's like, now I wanna ride English. I'm like, God.
I think you gotta return the second. I think we should write an ad, and it should go something like this. Ungrateful husband. It starts something like that. And I bet you the listeners could come up with some funny ads.
Okay. Okay, please. Let's put the challenge out to the listeners here and see what they can come up with as far as writing an ad for an unwanted Western saddle. We'll trade for English, potentially, you know, whatever. Super athletic husband, ungrateful, not wanting to, whatever. Anti-cowboy, you know, what? You can come up with something.
I actually think you're pretty lucky because I figured that after he got into riding 3 months ago, in quotes, that it would be about 2 weeks after that he wouldn't be into riding, in quotes, anymore, and he'd be on to other things. So I think you're lucky that he's still wanting to ride.
Oh, I'm incredibly happy, and I'm incredibly happy that he's taken an interest in my sport, which is great. It just was not what I was anticipating 3 months ago when I bought him a dang Western saddle for Christmas.
See, that's what you get for thinking ahead and not doing like I do and waiting till the last minute. If you had waited till the last minute, you wouldn't be having this problem.
Glenn, you are absolutely right. Those words tasted bad coming out of my mouth.
Jennifer, what's coming up? Jennifer, you're on mute. We can't hear you.
I'm on mute. I'm sorry. I was posting a question of the day on the Facebook page.
Okay.
On today's Christmas Pfizer Animal Health Tuesday edition, it's winners all over the place. We break from the gate with a winning endurance rider, our adopted one, Rachel Shackelford, and she's going to be here to tell us about her latest career move, and Glenn, I think, is going to try to take credit for that, followed by the delightful Hope Hand, who is the executive director of the United States Para-Equestrian Association. She's stopping by to sing the praises of the United States Para-Dressage team, fresh from their kick-butt win in Australia. And to round out the show, as is her habit on Tuesdays, Victoria Spicer, the woman with the golden voice, is here from Horse and Country TV to give us the wrap-up on the Olympia Horse Show, which just finished up over there in Europe. It's the horse show that should be on everyone's bucket list, so stay tuned, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. My Daily Winnie goes out to everybody who left voicemail messages for the Christmas episode that we're recording this afternoon that will play on Friday morning this week. We had 25 voicemails, Jamie, a bunch of them, and we appreciate everybody who left those voicemails. And out of that, Friday morning, you'll hear who wins the big box of leftover studio crap. Just everybody wants. So, and also, I'm going to throw this in, not as a Daily Winnie, I'm just going to throw it out there, that Sabrina Regan just posted on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. You can go there and like us. We appreciate that. By the way, we're over 3,600 now. That number keeps growing. Yeah. She posted a picture. She said, "I thought Glenn especially would appreciate the new Christmas lights I got." I love that, Sabrina. You need to send it over to me. I could put it in my front yard. It would be in a what we call a yard identifier. It would be perfect. I'd leave it up year-round. It's pretty.
You're stuck on this yard identifier thing. Didn't you want that big, giant plastic horse or something for your yard?
Yeah, I need something. And this is what she posted was a picture of a little light display with a carriage and a horsey. It's like something you'd see at Southern Lights. We would definitely put that up in our yard, sure. And then also, let me throw this in quick. Stella Louise Smith posted, "I was so honored to be asked to serve Stirrup Cup for Red Rock Hounds at yesterday's hunt. The Peeing Santa and I had a great time serving port. I heard they had a fabulous run with very clever coyote that led them on a chase for miles and miles." And she posted a picture. And if you look at the picture, you see a picture of a cat in a little coat, which I thought was pretty cute. But right beside it is the Peeing Santa that serves port. And in fact, it is a Santa that pees your port. Which is kind of like the Peeing Santa. I thought that was pretty cool. I want one of those.
That's sacrilege. That just can't be right. First of all, there's a peeing Santa. Second of all, a cat is wearing a Baker blanket. That
I
is
know.
Not normal.
You're right. I couldn't decide which was more disturbing. And the cat actually looked tolerant to that whole topic, which I thought was strange, too.
It really does.
All right, it's your turn.
Yep.
Oops.
All right, there was a black cloud over my house yesterday, and a black cloud over many homes throughout the United States, and especially New Jersey, because the rumor had it, and it went out on Twitter, it went out on Facebook, it was very, very disturbing that the man had passed away. John Bon Jovi reportedly yesterday was dead, and I'm sorry, John Bon Jovi was part of my wedding ceremony. I mean, John Bon Jovi has affected me throughout my entire life. He has been a steady rock of rock and roll, actually, throughout my entire existence as a teenager, all the way up through my college years. John Bon Jovi has always been there for me, and the fact that he was rumored dead was more than I could take. I put on my Hickstead armband and then wrote on the other side, John Bon Jovi. That's how upset I was. Well, we can all celebrate because John Bon Jovi is not dead. Woo! It was a fake press release. Check this out. A fake press release got retweeted and retweeted and retweeted, blah, blah, blah. I can't say that word three times fast in the morning. But apparently reactions were devastating. And on John Bon Jovi's official Facebook page, posted at 7:02 p.m. last night, there's John Bon Jovi standing with a piece of paper that is holding up a sign that says, "Heaven looks a lot like New Jersey, John Bon Jovi. Rest assured, he is alive and well." The photo was just taken last night because he wrote the date and the time. So good news is the rock star lives.
I don't know what's more disturbing, the Peeing Santa or your obsession with John Bon Jovi.
You know, Glenn, I'm going to tell you that I'm 34 years old, Glenn. I'm just going to say it. I'm 34 years old, and I have sustained about 20 years of people like you saying, "What is your problem? Why are you obsessed with John Bon Jovi?" And you know what? I'm over it. I can take it or leave it. I don't care.
I love that he wrote, "Heaven looks a lot like New Jersey," on the note he was holding.
Is that not going to be like the next hit song? Okay, I mean, come on.
I'm still alive, it's going to be called.
I'm still alive. Heaven looks a lot like New Jersey. They're standing in front of a Christmas tree. Oh,
good.
This is where we'd play a Bon Jovi song if we were a regular radio station, but we'd get in trouble for that.
Thank God. All right, let's go to Rachel next. We have our first guest up here, and she is our adopted endurance rider. We talked to her, if you remember right, Janie, we talked to Rachel Shackelford after she came in second at the Tevis Cup this year. She was on the show, and we had a whole conversation about where she was going to go from here and whether she was going to start riding FEI or what the story was. And let's get an update from her, because I hear she's in sunny Florida. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning, guys.
So do you agree with Janie or me about Jon Bon Jovi? What's your do you even know who he is?
I do know who he is, but he was still way before my time, and I haven't kept up much on the Bon Jovi group.
Wait, hold up. How is he before your time? He is still churning out the hits as we speak. How dare you? Guy is still rocking in his 40s, okay? Watch it.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are hilarious.
We're in a mood this morning. I need to warn you before we talk, Rachel. We're kind of in a Christmas mood, you know. We're winding down. We're ready for our break, and we're like those kids at high school. We just can't wait to get through the next couple of days.
Oh, I definitely can imagine. Well, I had a wonderful weekend.
Before you get into that, let's catch up from where you were. You were living in California after the Tevis Cup, and you had talked about doing a couple of things. What did you actually end up doing?
Well, yeah, I talked about a couple things about, you know, different options coming out here, trying out the FEI scene, and the Reynolds lended me a hand and a little foot in the door so I could try to get in and explore their world. And so I took the opportunity, and I got the first plane ticket out here, and I ended up driving cross country with Heather's husband, Jeremy, transporting horses to Florida. And that was an experience in itself. I got to learn, you know, how they transport these horses and, you know, what are some of the things that they do and look for on the road. And so that just gave me right there because, you know, FEI rides are usually not in your, you know, background neighborhood ride. You know, you have to drive far to get to them. And so that was the first little experience I got. And then I got here in Florida and we went to a ride, the Gothy Challenge, right here next door to them, and I was able to ride Marvel, who Jeremy won on Tevis this year. So that was really exciting for me, and I got to ride him in one of the 50-miler, the first, the FEI one-star, and we had an awesome ride the whole time. We came in fifth place, and it was fun. Definitely a different scene. It was fun.
Well, congratulations. How did you find it different from the non-FEI, the Tevis Cup type events that you had been doing before? Was it different? How did you find it different?
You know, it was different for me because I've been used to going out on the trail and trotting and cantering and walking and, you know, just chatting along and getting through the ride. And FEI, they are so, they put the horse first before anything, and the top priority for FEI is to make sure that horse looks the best as possible at every check and to make sure it really is the horse's best day. And if it's not, to make sure you don't over push that. And I love all the rules that they have, and it really ensures that the winning horse is the best horse of the day. And when we're going out there riding, you know, we're cantering, it's a lot of deep sand out there. So it's different from our rocky, you know, single track terrain that we have back in California.
And yeah, the hills are much smaller too.
More like little rolling hills, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Sand dunes.
So it was really different. Well, for one, I've never ridden in sand that long in my life, and for two, I'm used to seeing a lot different a lot different layout. So it was really neat. I got to see different scenery. We got to go through some different things. For one, I was looking for an alligator the whole entire time.
Now, you're used to rocky, cliffy, kind of deserty, you know, mountains out where you rode in California. And in Florida, I imagine you get more speed because is a lot more of it open?
A lot more of it is open, and it's usually for the Guppy Challenge, we were on a lot of dirt roads and sand roads, and, I mean, the very wide path. I mean, four horses can easily just ride together across. So it was really different. I'm used to, you know, oh, God, lock your knees and you're going to get a tree or something, you know. And so it was different. And also I had to get used to cantering for 50 miles. I wasn't used to that before.
I bet. And that probably meant that you need to be in a little better shape for that kind of riding too.
Yeah, no, it's it definitely takes a different toll on your body. It's a different movement that you have to get used to.
Did you like it? Go ahead, Dave.
I absolutely loved it. It was so much fun. I felt like I was cantering on the beach the whole entire time. You know, all the sand, you're like, woo, you know, and you whip around turns. And it was fun. It definitely is a different type of riding, and I'm absolutely in love with it so far.
So cantering for 50 miles, okay. Now, is that 50 miles all at once, or are you kind of cantering and then breaking it up, or is it a steady canter for 50 miles?
Well, you break it up in certain sections. I mean, coming into the vet checks, obviously you have to stop and walk at some point, and then when you're out there.
Yeah. Figured that.
Yeah, and then, you know, when you're out there, you give the horses a break and then come into the water, cool them off, you know, let them catch their breath, get on again. But all these horses, you know, the horse that I rode, the Reynolds keep their horses in such top condition that these horses are able to do 100 miles cantering nonstop. I mean, these horses are so fit and so trained for this that this 50-miler I just did on Marvel, I mean, for heaven's sakes, he won the Tevis Cup. You know, I mean, this is nothing compared to what his training level is. So this was a walk in the park for him. He was just, you know, getting me through it.
Now, I'm assuming that after his walk in the park, you got off and your knees were screaming and your hips were hurting. I mean, how is it different trying to do that for your body?
Well, you know, and it really helped with a lot of my equitation background because we are doing a lot of cantering. You know, I did do a lot of cantering in the arena and stuff, but it's completely different when it's out on trail. You, instead of being tight and in form all the time, you know, you want to be a little bit more loose to help the horse get through it instead of having this stiff thing on their back. And so my shoulders were a little sore in my lower back, but, you know, I'm back out riding again and I'm feeling a lot better, but it's something I'll get used to.
What part of Florida are you in?
I am in Denali.
Which is near?
It's near Ocala.
Oh, okay. So you're near Ocala.
Yeah,
that's terrific.
It's
Are you enjoying Florida?
I am. I cannot tell you how much I'm enjoying 75-degree weather with flip-flops in December.
Amen, sister.
So nice. Oh, my gosh. It is so nice. I wake up and I'm like, ooh, it's cold in the house. And then I go outside and I'm like, I'm going to wear some shorts today. It's so nice.
It came from California. It wasn't exactly, you know, the frigid Arctic either.
No, it wasn't. But, you know, and then, you know, we drove through Colorado and it was freezing and snow everywhere and ice. And I'm like going into hibernation mode. And then, you know, we drive through Texas and it's a little bit better weather. And then you keep moving, you know, more east. And it was just, you know, cold, cold, freezing cold. And then boom, Hawaii practically.
So what's coming up? What's next for you? So what do you see 2012 bringing to our adopted endurance rider? Because now we have to follow you. We're going to have to get you a helmet cam.
Yeah. You know, 2012, I think that I will continue with the FEI and work my way slowly up the totem pole and just, you know, see and take my different opportunities as they come and, you know, definitely try to follow the sport. And, you know, maybe 2014 World Equestrian Games. I'm not quite sure yet, but it's just taking those little baby steps, then I'll know further more. But I definitely want to keep continuing to do this, and it is since taking this opportunity, I've really enjoyed it.
Well, it sounds like you're also in the right place with the right people.
Definitely.
Yeah, so, well, give a shout-out to your new coach and the family you're hanging out with down there. Tell us a little about them.
Oh, I will. The Reynolds, I met them when I was younger, as I've told you on the previous show, and we've been really long family friends, and they have kind of been my coaches and guiders up through this process, and they've opened their arms to me and been training and critiquing me along the way and kind of molding me to what I need to be for the sport, and they have set a wonderful example. They have, you know, gladly let me ride their amazing horses, and they've truly given me all the tools I need.
Well, I think you're going to do terrific. We're going to be following you every step of the way over the next year or two and your quest for the World Equestrian Games over there in France, which should be a nice place. You're going to have a few more hills over there, I would imagine, that especially Normandy, France, where it's going to be held. It'll be a little bit hillier than you're going to find in Florida, for sure.
Yes, yes.
Well, good luck, Rachel. Have a great holiday, and we're going to be watching and cheering for you along the way.
Thank you guys so much, and you have a wonderful Christmas.
All right, thanks,
good
Rachel.
Luck.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
There's your assignment this weekend, Jamie. You're going to have a little time off next week. You should go out and ride 50 miles at a canter and see how Monday feels.
I think I would die. And my horse would definitely be down on his luck, okay? Yeah. And she's like, you know, you've got to love talking to somebody who's like, hey, what's your goals for next year? I think I'm going to head towards, you know, pretty much every horse show that is, like, international ever. Like, really? That's so cool.
And you know what, though? I kind of believe she's going to do it, you know?
I know.
Anybody that can go out and do the hardest, the Tennis Cup, the hardest endurance race there is, and, you know, for over 100 miles in that grueling terrain and come in second at her age, it's just amazing. We're gonna enjoy following her. We'll keep you updated on her travels over the next year or two. We now have an official adopted endurance rider. I need to create a page on the website for all this adopted people we have. We have a lot of them.
Yeah, absolutely. You're gonna have to expand your Christmas shopping because you have to buy gifts for everybody you've adopted.
That's true. I forgot about that. I think we've just unadopted a bunch of them, actually, Jamie. let's talk
Hi,
about, talk
no
about a company that
you.
Has adopted us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's see here. Well, we'd like to thank Pfizer Animal Health because they continue to be a sponsor for our craziness here on Horses in the Morning. And Pfizer Animal Health, I mean, they're a big deal. They're the leading manufacturer of animal health products in North America and international markets. Pfizer Animal Health's tried and true lines of vaccines include West Nile Innovator, that's the first vaccine to help protect against equine West Nile virus, Innovator Combination Vaccines, the FluVac Innovator Vaccine Line, and many other quality products. At Pfizer Animal Health, we're passionate about the health and wellness of horses and all animals. For more information about Pfizer Animal Health's products, visit PfizerAnimalHealth.com. And Glenn, are you going to talk about Quest, or do you want me to carry on?
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the things they've reintroduced now is their Quest Plus line gel beak wormer. It had been out of stock for a while, but it's back. So it's around now for your winter deworming pleasure. Quest Plus is basically, you know, used for tapeworm threat as well as other serious internal parasites. I know we just gave Quest Plus to Beaker here not too long ago for his fall deworming. And you can find more information about Quest and Quest Plus at questhorse.com. Well, thank you to Pfizer. We appreciate it. We appreciate all of our sponsors this holiday season, especially. They give us little gifts all year long, and we are very appreciative of that. Well, next, I know a lady, Jamie, who's quite appreciative of something that happened a long way from here, halfway around the world in Australia. We met her in the lead-up to the World Equestrian Games here in Kentucky. We got to know a lot of the people that were on this team we're going to talk about. And I got to tell you that I'm very proud, as I know Hope Hand is, who is the executive director of the United States Paraequestrian Association, of something that just happened. Good morning, Hope.
Good morning, Glenn. Yeah, we're really proud of our team of riders. We've been on a roll since September in Socrates. So for the race to rank the U.S. team for London Paralympics.
Well, now tell us this. What happened? So you guys, the United States para dressage team, headed to Australia. First of all, why did they go to Australia?
Well, actually, it started out our international adventure on borrowed horses. We decided that it would be good experience for our riders to be in front of the panel that would be judging in London. And you know how it is, sending your own horse, it's quite expensive, and it just would be overload for us to do that because we planned on being in Florida for 3 weeks. So it started out after New York in September. We competed on our own turf in Socrates, New York, and won the team gold there against Canada and Mexico. So we were invited to Mexico first in November. And we decided to do it on borrowed horses. So it was quite an adventure, you know, combing the Mexican countryside a week prior, looking for FEI horses to borrow for this competition. So we were very successful there. There were four countries, Norway, Mexico, U.S., and Japan, competed there, and we won the gold medal there on borrowed horses. So that got us thinking. The FEI vet said to us, "Hey, you know, I'm officiating in Australia. Why don't you go there?" And I said, "You got to be kidding." And so it was quite a challenge, Glenn, to find your horses. And I said, you know, I just started at the top. I thought, well, let me contact some Australian WEG riders, which I did, and met a really nice lady out of Melbourne, Charlotte Peterson, that came to the WEG. And I said, look, we have some great riders, FEI riders.
Hey, Hope, hold on one second here. We got a terrible connection with you. You keep breaking up on us. So, I'm going to hang up and have Jennifer call you back and see if we can get a better connection.
Let me see. Is this better?
Oh, that might be a little bit better. Oh, nope, you're still crackling on us. So
okay.
I'm going to just have Jennifer give you a call right
sure.
back.
Okay, bye.
Sorry about that, everybody, but... we were just getting to the good part. So we'll have to get back on the line here. Hope is so proud. She has worked so hard. It is quite a chore when you have a team that has to travel like this. Raising the money to do the travel all the time is one of the constant battles. And it's a huge task. You know, and the other thing about when you send a para team overseas like that, Jamie, is they all need more handlers and helpers than most teams do. So they actually end up bringing more people to help them, to help the riders, even if they don't travel with the horses. So
I find it amazing how you would even go about finding horses for, I mean, they've got to be some pretty amazing horses. I guess, well, Hope's on the line here again, so we'll get her on here in just a second as soon as she's ready. There we go. Hey, Hope?
All right.
Sure.
Let's see if this
is better.
Better,
Glenn?
Well, we hope so. We hope so, Hope.
Well, anyway, we landed down under in Australia and met up with a really great WEG owner, trainer, Charlotta Peterson, that loaned us from Hill Cottage Dressage some wonderful client horses, FEI horses, that we just came in and it was like riding Rolls Royces to the victory. So we just had a fantastic time and very successful.
You guys won gold, and also now you earn team spots for the Paralympics in London, right?
Yes, we did. We have to hold on to these spots. So, Glenn, the end of the ranking period is January 31st. So we are headed to Florida, Wellington, to do the last two weekend shows. We'll be at the Masters along with Totalus. So that should be quite an adventure and an experience in itself.
I bet. Now, I'm looking at the people on the team here, and, of course, there's some people that are good friends of the Horse Radio Network that we've spent some time with, and I'd like to go through them. On the team, of course, the chef to keep, Missy Ranshausen, a good friend of the Horse Radio Network and of ours, and it's good to see Missy got to make that trip. I'm sure she said, oh, I really don't want to go to Australia.
How did you guess? She told me
then,
I was nuts. She said, if you find the horses, I'll go. But she didn't think I would do it.
Yeah, and she never turns down a trip south. Rebecca Hart, of course, who works for Missy Ranshausen, or used to. Does she still work for Missy?
She's still a barn rat there. And coffee at Starbucks.
You know what, though? She's a barn rat. She's a barista who has a gold medal hanging around her neck right now.
Yep.
Erin Alberta, of course. Mary Jordan, I saw, made the trip. That was terrific. She's, of course, a name that we've heard many times in the past. And Donna Panessa. So they all must be, like, jumping through the telephone when they called you about that.
Well, they are. It was quite a challenge. You know, we went with great apprehension to find horses a day or two before the competition started. You have to be really great catch riders, which they all were. And we're talking, I mean, these horses were so fantastic, and to get the scores that we got, Glenn, they were better scores than we got in the United States, and the competition was fierce. And it just shows you that this team is worthy of horse sponsorship. They're great riders. We need the horsepower to keep up the momentum. So I'm glad you called, because our mission now is to back up the horses that we have at home with a second mount in Florida. We'd like to try to rally up the Florida public. If anybody is out there with a talented horse that may be up for sale, we would like our riders to show that horse in Florida and add to our resume and to your resume, advertise your horse. What better way to say, look, equestrian athlete showed your horse at the Dressage Masters in Wellington, bound for London. And,
This is always a constant battle, especially with the para team, is finding the right horses, because you really do need top-notch horses, and top-notch horses don't come cheap. And that's why you're always looking for sponsorship for these horses. It's tough to field enough horses, because if it was the ideal world, you would have two. Everybody would have two horses that they're used to. And Jamie, imagine the feat of going to, you know, it's like dressage isn't hard enough. Going to Australia the day before meeting your horse and going out and having to do these unbelievable tests. It's just an amazing feat no matter what.
Oh, yeah, it's not child play by any means. And, you know, we just had a clinic with Robert Dover, and he just, you know, is beside himself, because your Olympic-bound athlete is partnered with their horse for several years prior to a competition. So he just can't believe that we do this, and the tests are nothing to sneeze about. We're talking – you know, pre-St. George movements in these tests. So you do have to have the FEI horse to do this.
Wow.
Hey, Hope,
wow.
We kind of have a surprise caller that I'm thrilled to see is on the line here, and that is one of the gold medalists from Australia, Mary Jordan. Good morning, Mary, and congratulations.
Woo-woo!
Hey, Glenn. Thanks. How are you?
Oh, we're
hey, Mary,
terrific.
Thanks.
You have to be on cloud 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Now, when did you guys head home? You're home now, right?
Yes, I'm home and delightfully jet-lagged or working my way out of it. But, yes, it was 27 hours one way between here and there.
Oh, that is a
I'm
long
still
flight.
Still doing laundry but, 3 in the morning. But,
so tell us about your trip. Give us the Reader's Digest. How was it?
Oh, it was absolutely a fabulous experience, to say the least. And I really appreciate all of USEF's and USPEA's efforts and all the people involved to get us there and find us horses and coach us well. And, you know, it just, like I said, it was a journey of a lifetime. I had never been that far, but, you know, we flew the 27 hours, got off the plane, and then spent 3 days riding, I think, every horse around Australia to find the perfect fit with Missy Ranshausen, our coach, and my teammates Aaron Alberta and Becca Hart and Donna Panessa. And for us to find these amazing horses and in a short period of time just ramp up and click with them and win a gold medal, you couldn't write a more amazing script of what actually happened. It was fantastic.
Well, tell us about the horse you ended up with, the one that took you on your ride.
Northern Charmer is a beautiful mare owned by Elaine and Adrian Castellini. He's a vet in Mount Evelyn, Victoria, Australia. And it was a tough journey to find a grade 4 horse. The initial horse that I was going to borrow the day before I flew out, the horse came up lame with an abscess, very nice pre-St. George horse. And so going into this competition, I had no idea what I was going to ride. And we tried a variety of Australian stock ponies and two-star event horses and some like to buck and some like to rear. And my options were a little bit limited, but I just kept swinging a leg over. And Elaine brought out her own personal horse the day before we were going into the venue. And I happen to love mares, and this mare was just a delight. She had such a good brain and lovely training and beautiful movement. And I felt right at home on her immediately, and that was the horse we took in. And she was a mare that liked to compete, and those are tough horses to beat, you know, if you get one that's engaged like that to its rider. And I just was so impressed with her mind and her heart and her ability, because, you know, when you're catch riding, you know, these horses get one, maybe two rides to get to know you. And every day in the competition, we just kept improving on our score. And that was a real thrill to come within a few decimal points of the Australian National Grade 4 champion when it was just my fourth ride on the horse. So it was pretty exciting.
So, Mary, you're talking about this horse the way that, you know, most talk about their like lifetime horse. I mean, to catch ride on an animal such as this and go out and do as well as you did, tell me in your heart, is there any way you have to want to take this horse home?
Oh, I wouldn't turn her down at all. She was a long way away, and I know that she's well loved by her owner, who had her as a foal herself. I think that's one of the big differences, and where Elaine and I connected as horse owners is that, you know, we are used to, you know, bringing our own horses along. You know, two of my mares. One was born in my lap and the other born in my backyard, and I've done all the training on them myself. So establishing really good relationships, you know, with the horses when they're babies and taking them through their growing up years has an incredible bond. And I think it was because this mare was loved and trusted, you know, by her owner that the mare trusted me. And that made a big difference, I think.
It was interesting, too, Mary, that we ended up with mares, which, you know, is unusual.
It is unusual, but it doesn't surprise me at all. I just have loved mares, and I think a good mare is one of the best competition horses you can find, personally.
Right.
He's a mare person.
Mare person, yes. I am.
And the wonderful mare from Hill Cottage Dressage, actually Erin and Becca both shared. She was so fantastic. Southern Cross Tamarisk, they called her Tammy for short, was owned by an FEI rider, and she was quite spectacular gray. And also Donna Panessa rode a Grand Prix, what was he, Mary? That was the only gelding that we had.
Yeah, Hanoverian gelding.
Hanoverian,
Don Armani.
Big guy. But these horses were just outstanding. Felt a little bad going into the venue, and the Australians just were flabbergasted, Glenn. Where did you find these horses?
So they didn't know that they were right in their backyard to begin with.
Well, you know, I was so desperate on the, what was it, after 12 hours on the third day, I said to Missy, just leave me outside a tack room. You know, I'm going, the biggest tack room in Australia, and I'm going to interview everybody going in and see what kind of horse they have.
You will do anything for your team, I'll tell you that. Well, now, I am very excited, Mary, that, and I assume that this is kind of the team that we're looking forward to the Olympics, or do you see that as a possibility?
Oh, I see it as a strong possibility, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we have 15 potential, candidates, of course, and there's only four that will make the team selection. I don't know. You know, we had a very talented team going to Mexico, which only Donna was part of that one. And we'll just have to see, you know, how it plays out at selection trials.
Now, you know that flight is much shorter, Mary, so it shouldn't be a problem at all to London.
Yeah, five or 6 hours is nothing after Australia. I just wanted to say I have thoroughly enjoyed the people that I've ridden on these teams with. You know, we had a gold medal team at Saugerties, New York, with Jonathan Wentz and Becca Hart and Wendy Frick. They were good people, good riders, turning in a gold medal performance there. And this is actually, I think, my third time riding with Becca, because we also rode on a silver medal team up in Canada right before the WEG.
Oh, that's right, Mary.
And with Erin too, and it was just a really great opportunity to get some more time to bond with Becca and Erin as my WEG teammates, and to get to know Donna as well. You know, I really felt very proud to be part of that team, and really impressed with how we all just adapted to these unforeseen circumstances and unexpected changes. These were riders that rolled with it and worked collectively together. And you can't, some people adapt well to challenging circumstances and some don't. And this was a great group that did, and we worked together with Hope and Missy and Lisa Miller and Donna's coach, Wes. Everybody pulled together, and it made a huge difference in a success.
Not to mention the hurricane.
I gotta tell you, I don't know what you call it, hurricane/monsoon/tornado. There was Hope out by the ring. Oh, I just want to watch one more ride. And it's like, Hope, you're going to get struck by lightning if you don't come in now.
Well, congratulations, guys. We are so proud of you now. You're going to have some tough competition. You head over to England because the British para team is the one to beat, I would say. So we're going to be rooting for you, though. And, you know, Hope, we may have to take a look at doing another little fundraiser for you here as we come into the Olympics. We might have to talk about that.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to do that, Glenn. Always a pleasure, and Merry Christmas to everyone.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in, Mary, and Merry Christmas to both of you, and Happy New Year. We're going to be watching.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you so much.
Bye,
all the best.
All right. Bye-bye. What a great group of people they are. We did a para-webathon for them before the WEG where we actually got together with Alltech and we put on a two-hour video fundraiser. We had four telephone lines coming in there, Jamie, and for the 2 hours, almost every line was full. For 2 hours, we raised, I think it was between $10,000 and $20,000 for them to go to WEG. We got to know a lot of them because they came in and they were actually on the show with us, and just really neat people. And we're big supporters here at the Horse Radio Network of our para teams around the world.
That had to be an awesome experience, and I can't believe you got that much money. I was just thinking, though, when they were talking about needing a horse to show, that I have a couple that they are welcome to.
they really want them trained up to about fourth level.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that one of them would give you those movements whether you asked for them or not.
Really good at pee-offs. And,
yeah, the pee-off and Levade and Airs Above the Ground are fantastic on one of my horses. So, you know, I would be happy to shift that horse down. I'm just kidding.
I'm sure Mary's going to sign up for that tomorrow. She'll be waiting in line for your horse. After the
absolutely.
One she rode
and
to Australia, this sounds thrilling.
I I'm thinking that I could send a couple down to them to train. They'd probably do a better job than me.
Well,
hey,
congratulations.
I'll send you guys this one. Make it a Grand Prix horse, okay? Thank you.
Well, there's still time to buy from Amazon, and if you're going to be doing that for the holiday season, we want you to stop by our website first. Just go to horsesinthemorning.com. Click on the Amazon link on the left side of the page, and that will take you right to Amazon. It doesn't cost you anything but an extra click, but anything you buy then will get a little bit of a kickback from Amazon for it. Helps support the Horse Radio Network, so if you enjoy the programming here, just take an extra second to go to Horses in the Morning before you go to Amazon to purchase anything from them. It doesn't matter what, and we'll get a little bit back from Amazon, and we really appreciate your support. I thought an appropriate song today is one I really like from Patty Hall, who's a good, good, good friend of Templeton Thompson's. Matter of fact, Templeton credits a lot of her music style and what she's done to Patty Hall. So let's listen to a little Settle Down Cinderella, and then we're going to come back with the European Report from Horse and Country TV.
Friday night and the phone won't ring. You let it get you so blue. You're climbing the walls of your pink bedroom. Feels like the world's leaving you behind. But girl, I got good news. There's a storybook ending. It's waiting for you. Together.
That is Patty Hall, Settle Down Cinderella. What a song. I like that one, Glenn. I dig it.
I thought you would. I thought you'd like that one.
Settle Down Cinderella. It's not Christmassy, but we're gonna hit you guys with Christmas on Friday. And by the way, thanks to everybody for calling in and leaving voicemails, because we did get some people to sing, Glenn. We did.
Yes, we did. Yeah, we got a couple. And we got some children to sing, so that's kind of fun, too.
Well, that's really the way it should go. Us adults should leave the singing to the kids, honestly.
Can we tell everybody that we will not be singing, so you're safe to listen?
I did not promise that. That is you.
Glenn will not be singing, so you're half safe to listen.
I actually might just sing John Bon Jovi since he's still alive. Because John Bon Jovi was the original Wanted Dead or Alive, because he's Wanted Dead or Alive. Yeah, huh?
You're not getting much love on the Facebook page for John Bon Jovi, I noticed.
Why? Okay, let's see what's going on. I haven't seen it yet. What happened? Who's talking down about?
Nobody's even commenting. Cindy said that she doesn't like him, but she celebrates your reference, which I thought was interesting. But that's it. Nobody else cares about John Bon Jovi, whether he's dead or alive.
I said that I celebrate his entire collection, and if you have not seen the movie Office Space, holy cow, it's the funniest one of the funniest movies ever, Office Space, and one of the characters, I'll give you the brief thing, is one of the characters' names in the movie is Michael Bolton, and people are like, oh my God, Michael Bolton, I celebrate his entire collection. He's like, my name is, you can just call me Mike. Anyway, that's what that's from. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Pfizer Animal Health. And just a minute, we're going to have Victoria. Oh, she's here already. If you have not listened to Victoria, she's going to talk about the Olympia Horse Show that she went to in great extent, because it's one of many people's favorite times of the year. And she said last week that Olympia was going to get her in the Christmas spirit. And I want to know, Victoria, are you in the Christmas spirit?
I am. I'm finally feeling Christmassy, which is good. It's happened. Olympia has a Christmas finale after every performance. And I've been there every single day since Tuesday, so that's quite a lot of Christmas performances, and I can't help feeling festive now.
Well, you sound a lot better than you did last week. You're like, are you ready for Christmas? I'm not ready for Christmas. Christmas, whatever. Okay, so because I do not know about Olympia, I do not know that much about it, I want you to just kind of paint a picture of what Olympia is and how it got you in the spirit.
Well, Olympia is one of the biggest shows in the year. It's basically a horse of the year show, Hicks said, and Olympia in terms of big show jumping competitions in Britain that really kind of capture the public's imagination. And Olympia is the pre-festive show. It's always just held in the week running up to Christmas. And it's held right in the centre of London.
Let me ask you real quick. Are you on speakerphone?
I'm not. Is the line not very good? Shall I change it?
It's not fantastic.
Is it better now?
Oh, that's way better. Okay.
Ah, that's good.
Start
sorry. I had it on hands-free, and it's obviously not being very effective. So, yes, Olympia is held in a big exhibition hall in the centre of London, quite near Harrods, our big department store, and lots of Christmas shopping going on, and all these horses descend on London, and it's just a fantastic big indoor show. And so there's performances starting from Tuesday when we had 2 days of dressage, and then we've had another 5 days of show jumping. And there's displays, and there's shopping, and it's just generally a really fun show.
So when I was on the Olympia Horse Show website, they talked about how there was a special guest, and I want to know if you saw it, because if you haven't seen videos online of Lorenzo the Flying Frenchman, he is the one who rides like 10 horses on the beach, and he gallops around, and he's really good looking, and he's got all these like Liberty horses, and it's spectacular. Did you see him perform?
I did. He did an amazing show. I think he had 8 horses at one point, and he stands on the back of 2 of them and controls the others with long reins, and it's incredible. He has them jumping, he has them weaving in and out of poles, and it is brilliant to watch. But it was quite frightening for Horse and Country team, because we kept going backstage to interview riders and winners, and we'd be filming quietly in the background, and suddenly Lorenzo would canter past with about 8 horses standing on the back, and it never failed to give us a fright every time that happened. So yes, we got up close to Lorenzo, we did.
Oh, that's great. So what you're describing to me sounds a lot like kind of the Madison Square Garden show of old here, where you've got horses in the middle of the city. How does that work?
Well, everybody brings their horse boxes in early in the show, and somehow they manage to park them up, and there's a huge big stable, indoor stabling unit, and the horses stay there for most of the week, and you'd never really know. I think if you were out doing your Christmas shopping in nearby Kensington, you wouldn't have a clue that there were, you know, 100 of the best horses in the country just a few feet away.
Oh, man, that's spectacular. So what was the highlight of the show for you?
There's been so many. It'd be impossible to pick just one. We started off with the dressage, and as we talked about earlier in the show, Britain have just really come into their own in dressage this year, and we did really well at the European Championships. But no one could have expected us to do quite as well as we did on our home turf at Olympia. And we had 2 days of dressage, and both days we had top 4 riders in the scoreboard. So a 1-2-3-4 for Great Britain, couldn't ask for any more, really.
And now there was show jumping too. How did that shake out?
Another great show for the Brits. Guy Williams, who is a very popular rider over here, he had 5 wins in total. And I think show jumpers go to these big international indoor shows and hope that they might get 1 or 2 wins. And to get 5 is just incredible. He's so fast against the clock, and he kept setting times that nobody could come near. I think he won one class by 7 seconds in the jump off. And so he just had a brilliant week, and it couldn't happen to a nicer man. And Guy is late 30s, and he's maybe just into his 40s now, and he's just
come into his own last year or so, and we'll be watching out for him for London 2012, I think, after this week's performance. So a great show for Guy. And the other rider who did really well was Ben Mayer, who is just 28. He's been at the top of his game for, I think, about 5 or 6 years now, and he had a fantastic week, and he won the World Cup qualifier, and it was his first win, I think, in the series. So brilliant result for Ben, and it's just great to see him do well.
What I'm finding fantastic is that Ben Mayer actually won the H&M leading rider of the show. And I was looking at the things, and then I realized H&M is one of my favorite clothing stores of all time. And they sell in the United States here, they sell the most hip, trendy clothes for like the most affordable prices. And I knew that they were based over in Europe. But to have the H&M leading rider of the show goes to show you how mainstream it is over there. That would be like the Gap sponsoring a horse show here in the United States. It just, that wouldn't happen. But that's what makes the Olympia horse show so spectacular, is it is just kind of part of the culture, no matter where you are.
It really is. And it's nice because we used to have clothing stores supporting equestrianism, and I think H&M is the first one to get involved for a little while. I think Remacra, there's another one that has got involved in recent years. But H&M is, I think it is a Scandinavian company, I could be wrong, but they sponsor Malin Bayard Johnson, who's a very successful show jumper, and they several of her horses go under the H&M prefix, and they get really involved at Olympia. So we kept having clothing adverts coming up and during the middle of classes, and lots of jump wings decorated with ladies dressed up in the latest fashion. So it was nice to see. Makes a bit of a change to have clothing back in show jumping.
Well, you know, you have to take that with a grain of salt, because this is coming from a person who also is a big Bon Jovi fan. So I don't know that we can take our fashion. Keep that in mind.
Lives, Glenn. He lives.
Did I see that?
I have sympathy, because during the dressage we were playing Name That Tune, so we would try and guess what freestyle music excerpts we had from various writers, and I very quickly named Phil Collins' Genesis track, much to the consternation of my colleagues, who now think I have no street cred whatsoever.
You and Jamie could have a party. Nobody but come. Now Nick Skelton, was he hurt? I saw he got hurt. Now he's a big, you're one of your big show jumpers over there, obviously. And I saw he got hurt. Was that at Olympia?
Nick actually, he had a bit of a sore back this week, but I think he's been okay. He's had a very good season, and he won double bronze at the European Championships. But no big wins for him this week, which was a shame. Shame not to see him in the limelight, because he has had a brilliant season.
Yeah, he's had a really, really good year. Well, now, I know there's a lot of demonstrations and things that go on between the competitions over there, and that's one of the big draws for Olympia. Which one was your favorite? Now, we already talked about the Frenchman out there doing his thing. Was there another one that really caught your attention?
I liked the Shetland Pony Grand National. That was really fun to see when they have lots of little tiny Shetland ponies racing around over the fences. So I think that was probably my favorite.
Well, that always ends up on YouTube, and it's always a favorite around the world to watch the Shetland ponies jumping over little tiny jumps in a race with little kids on them.
It does. It's brilliant. It's very sweet to watch. And we got to go meet some of the Shetlands and the jockeys and interview them, and they were all very sweet. And they decorate their stables. They have a competition who can have the best decorated stable. So there was one pony had a saloon bar stable, and another one had a festive decoration. So it's nice to see them getting involved in the Christmas spirit.
Now, the other thing, too, is, you know, here in the United States, and I hate to say it, but we pick on the British a little bit about their food. So was there good food at Olympia?
No. Well, I'm sure there was lots of different fans. I'm saying that having been there for 8 days in a row, and I am really pleased to be back home to have some home cooking and steering away from endless chocolate biscuits in the fresh room. I think my post-Christmas diet is going to have to start early. It's not good.
I love the honesty. I love it because Glenn is a foodie, and so, like, when we go to Rolex here in Kentucky every spring, there is everything that you could potentially want fried. You've got fried, I mean, even this last year they had fried cookie dough and fried cheesecake and fried banana, whatever it is, it's fried. What is a picture of what it is over there at Olympia?
It's exactly the same, and I just don't know how riders are so slim. I think if you are going to live on a diet of show food, you have to ride 8 horses a day, whereas if you're only riding one, then it's just not enough. I think somebody needs to set up a salad bar and travel around all the shows, and they'll make a killing.
The salad bar. Oh, that's fantastic. Now, I must go back to the tiny little Shetland ponies, and you said you met the jockeys. What does a Shetland pony jockey look like?
They're all just children who own and ride Shetland ponies, and they have additions throughout the country and qualify for the final. And they're so excited by it. It's really sweet to see, and they all adore their ponies. So Jenny Rudolph, our presenter, and I went to meet some, and we were interviewing them, and they were so excited to be on camera, although a few of them went a little bit shy when we put the microphone in front of them.
Of course. I was thinking that maybe the Shetland pony jockeys were potentially Santa's elves in the off season. And I thought, well, they got to be pretty busy right now. guess not. So fantastic to talk to you. Thank you for is there a link to your coverage of Olympia on your website, horseandcountry.tv?
Yes. Certainly there is. So horseandcountry.tv and then /live reports will take you through to all the videos, the riders we caught up with, some of the behind-the-scenes gossip, everything else you could want. Head to our website.
All right, that's horseandcountry.tv. Victoria, thank you for being on with us, as you are every week. We will not talk to you next week because, obviously, it's Christmas week, and we're taking that time off, and I hope you're going to, too. What are your Christmas plans before I let you go?
I'm going to have a lovely Christmas and lots of food and lots of relaxing, and then going racing on Boxing Day, so looking forward to that.
Nice. Well, congrats. Have a wonderful Christmas. Tell the family we said hi, and we'll talk to you after the first of the year.
Very happy Christmas to both of you as well, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Merry Christmas, Victoria. Well, that's so good of her to join us every week from England, and I know that, you know, Jennifer has this big list on her wall, Jamie, of the things that she wants to do. She has her bucket list. And it's this huge piece of paper, and she is great big across the piece of paper. She has all the things she wants to do on her bucket list, and Olympia is one of those. So maybe
really?
Yeah, that's one of those. They have such good – you know, the difference, I think, between a show like Olympia and what we do here is, you know, we do the classes, and then in between classes, everybody's just kind of bored and walking around. In between their classes, they have all these entertainments. They really do make it a show. And I think that's what makes it so fun for the average person who's not really a horse person, and why they come out in droves to see that kind of show.
It's like the rodeos bringing out the rodeo clowns. See, Alan's going to be proud of me because Alan from the Western Radio Show, I'm using a Western reference.
You are, and it was almost accurate. So that's great.
Yeah. Almost. Almost.
Well, that's it. Let's call it a day a little early today. I don't know about you, but I got shopping to do. I got to go shop for Jennifer, or I'll be sleeping on the couch for a month. So I got to go do that. Hope she has
Stick
a list ready.
Stick to the list. Stick to the list.
Can I just
veer
off the list a little bit, you know? Just a little.
the whole two for me, one for them thing is not accurate. It should not apply. Do not do that.
Am I the only one in the world that goes shopping and finds more things for me than anybody else when I Christmas shop?
No. That's my problem. I mean, I did most of my shopping online, considering I live, like, you know, so far away from anything. I did most everything online, and I'm not kidding you. Packages are coming for me. It's terrible. Chad's like, oh, there's a package outside. Guess I shouldn't open it. I'm like, no, you can open it. It's full. It's for me.
That's funny.
It happens. Keep a close eye on him, Jennifer. He needs all the help he can get.
Yes, I do. There's no question about that at all. Well, we're going to be back tomorrow morning with another great show. We'll be live here at 9 a.m. Eastern on Horses in the Morning. I did want to say that the highlight Horse Radio Network highlight show for today is the driving radio show, which came out this morning. It's live right now, episode number 24. We had a great chat with Jacob Arnold, who won the USEF Junior Equestrian of the Year. And let me tell you, this is one little driver who was very, very happy. It, as far as we can tell, it's never happened before that a driver has won Junior Equestrian of the Year. He's very excited about it, and he talked all about it. He was a great guest, and it was a fun interview. So if you get a chance, hop on over to horseradionetwork.com and check out the latest driving radio show. Also, Dr. Wendy Ying shares tips on moving your horse south for the winter and gives some advice on that as well. So hop on over there, check it out. The driving radio show is the highlight. Tomorrow we're going to be going a little western on the show tomorrow, so tune in for that as well. And we have enjoyed having you here today. We hope you have had as much fun as we have. And have a great rest of the day. Get a ride in. Have some fun today.
Hold on. Susan Nelson, I have to call you out. You are such a liar. She says on our Facebook page that she admits that she has never in her life heard a Jon Bon Jovi record. Okay, come on. Who has not heard and does not celebrate Jon Bon Jovi's entire collection? I do not know. But, Susan, I mean, like, you've never heard Shot Through the Heart and Y'all Too Blame, Darling, You Give Love a Bad Name. I could go on because I'll be there for you. These five words, I swear to you. When you breathe, I want to be the air for you. I mean, you've got to have heard that one. I mean, one dead or alive. How about any of the music from Young Guns, the soundtrack, with all Jon Bon Jovi and Aubrey Miller? I read you. I was not at the concert in North Carolina a few years back. She says that she could identify me forensically from the shoe print left in her lap because apparently somebody climbed over her to get on stage. So that was not me. I did not go see him in North Carolina, but I have seen him in Georgia probably 17 or 18 times. I've seen him in Arizona. I've seen him in Kentucky. I've seen him in Florida. I'm not like, you know, a deadhead or anything. I didn't follow Jon Bon Jovi. I just happened to travel to see some shows.
Is there
whatever.
A name for the truly addicted Jon Bon Jovi fans like Deadhead? Is there, you know, like, you know, is there a name for them? Do they have a name?
Do you know what's really sad, Glenn, is there's not, because most of us Jon Bon Jovi fans have had to live in shame, and it's been secretive, and we've had to not tell anybody, but I'm coming out. It's my coming out show, okay?
How's your husband feel about your Jon Bon Jovi obsession?
Do you know that in our wedding vows, we had to, like, fill out, like, five or six things about the other person. And in the minister, actually, when he's standing there, we're getting married on the beach, he's standing there, and he is reciting the things that Chad said. And it's I didn't know because I didn't read them. He goes, one thing that Chad realized was that he never thought he would actually marry a Jon Bon Jovi fan, nor ever meet one.
Right in the wedding?
In my ceremony, okay? It's on tape, okay? I looked at him like, you told.
Well, I guarantee and then, of course, you, I know that sometimes they listen to, I was just going to say, I know sometimes they listen to music while they're flying their little fighter planes around up there. Guaranteed there's no Jon Bon Jovi in that fighter plane.
No, between Jon Bon Jovi and the Indigo Girls in our household, no, he does not put any of those bands, either one, in his iPod.
That's funny.
Oh, God. Everybody have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful day. Don't forget to spay, neuter, and geld, and just, you know, live while you're alive, people, okay? It's my life. It's now or never. You're not going to live forever. I just want to live while I'm alive because it's my life.
Darn good thing you have that attitude because you're a John Bon Jovi fan.
That's John Bon Jovi poetry.
He lives in New Jersey, for God's sake.